Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
And welcome to the 10 Oreo version of Batmania 66. Holly and I welcome you to episode 95, Enter Batgirl, Exit Penguin.
Woo!
Which, hooray, is the first episode of season 3, also the first Batgirl episode. Before we get started, I'm going to be a bit of a downer.
Mm-hmm.
About a week and a half ago, as I'm sure everybody who listens to this podcast knows, and most people who saw Facebook and have nerd friends know, Adam West died. He was this awesome force for pop culture in the same way that Star Trek was. They started the same year. I don't remember if you guys, I don't know if you guys remember when we watched the, was it Lyle Wagner? Robert Wagner? Robert Wagner. Test footage of Batman with Burt Ward's doppelganger as Robin. But the show wouldn't have worked if it wasn't for Adam West. The sort of overdramatic Shakespearean, tone and timbre that he brought to the show gave it its life and gave it its character. And we owe a lot to this version of Batman. There's stuff that Christopher Nolan straight up lifted from this Batman, like the Pagliacci mask that Joker wears in the opening scene of Dark Knight Rises. Batman the Dark Knight, and then Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight. And then in Dark Knight Rises, the whole last scene of the movie with Batman flying the bomb out into the bay is literally a throwback to the Batman 66 movie where Batman runs around for 2 solid minutes and has the wonderful line of, "Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb." It is absolutely a throwback to that. And as Tammy pointed out in our second episode of the podcast, there's stuff in this show that would not be out of place in a dark and gritty Batman movie. All you would need is basically just a lightings change.
Yeah.
And it would be just as good. And so it took me a long time, you know, like a week and a half. It took me a long time to sort of figure out how I wanted to talk about it and what it meant. And I think, if nothing else, Adam West was brilliant in finding not only that character in the first place, literally 51 years ago, but also in realizing that his career sort of hinged on not Adam West, but the caricature of Adam West as filtered through Batman.
Yeah.
And him coming back slowly but surely as people who grew up on first the single run of the show and then reruns of the show, and him coming in as that sort of like pre-crazy old man, like when he guested on The Simpsons and then when he got the recurring role as the mayor on Family Guy, he understood the value of self-parody and claiming his place in the cultural zeitgeist. And it's really, my brother put it this way, and I think I'll end on this. My brother put it this way. He said to me, he was one of those people who was just kind of immortal, because he had become not just an actor, but he'd become a member of the culture. Mm-hmm. And it's very weird to think that there's going to be no new addition from him into the cultural, except for one thing, which is, I found out a little while ago, and I posted to our Facebook, that apparently he had completed voice work on the second of the Batman 66 animated movies that they've been producing. So it looks like, coincidentally, we will get a new Batman movie, which introduces Two-Face into the Batman 66 world.
Oh.
And, speaking of Star Trek, and it's starting the same year, I almost said Jimmy Stewart, and that's not right, he's dead too. William Shatner is going to be the voice of Harvey Dent and Two-Face. So It is a nice little merging of pop culture that Captain Kirk and Batman are going to be on screen together, at least as voices.
Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado, we dedicate this entire podcast, but particularly this episode, we dedicate to Adam West and the joy that he has thrown to me since I was a little kid, and the Stockholm Syndrome that I have forced Holly into over the last couple years. So, when our episode starts, we get told that there are always excitements and surprises in Gotham, but today is going to be the most surprising day yet.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. It was a good episode. I don't know that it lived up to the most surprising day in Gotham. Holly's scratching a bug bite like there's no tomorrow.
Ooh, it's so bad.
When we cut to Batman and Robin pulling into the Batcave, they are discussing how they just caught Catwoman.
Yeah.
Off camera.
Declawed.
Wasn't that an amazing adventure we had?
Yes.
Just before now?
Yes.
And Robin says that he could go forever without hearing another cat meow. And Batman throws a lot of hate at Abra in that moment.
Yeah.
Because he tells him, well, don't relax now because we've got tickets to see the opera tonight.
And I was like, cats didn't come out till the 80s.
And when Dick says, well, maybe I should just stay home, Batman says, you better get a taste for opera. Like, it's one of the finer things, like poetry and olives. Poetry and olives.
Yeah.
Those are fine things you have to get a taste for.
Yeah.
I like black olives.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like green olives.
No.
And I don't like Kalamata olives.
I don't even know what that is.
They are...
Ben!
What?
Sorry. Carry on. Just remind me of this moment.
I'm pretty sure Holly was telling me to move on and not carry on.
No.
They're like olive-flavored salt bombs. They're not good.
That sounds gross.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Speaking of things I didn't know were a thing, banana rats.
Banana rats? I missed that. What's a banana rat?
I don't know. What's a banana rat with you? Look it up on your phone. They're like Trixie-sized rats.
Oh, baby. That's a chihuahua-sized rat for you guys.
Yeah. It's pronounced chihuahua.
I think it is. And, Bruce tells Dick that he needs to come because Bruce is being set up with Barbara Gordon, Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
She's a little young for him.
Yeah, I wrote that, too. But my question is, isn't that just cruel of Bruce? Bruce is like, you have to come and be a third wheel because they're bringing a date for me tonight. Watch me get lucky.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of... It was off-putting. Holy moly, that is a large rat, everybody.
Look, there's a guy who, killed one.
Yep, that's a big rat. And there's a guy who killed it and is now dangling it like he caught a shark. But not a bat shark.
This one has a beer.
Okay.
Can I change our podcast to being about banana rats?
Yes. Banana Rat-a-rama. Come with me on my date.
Yeah, awkward.
We find out, we see Barbara Gordon leaving her job as a librarian. Excuse me, I'm going to break for a little history lesson. This portrayal of Batgirl is the origin of Barbara Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the origin of her as Commissioner Gordon's daughter. There was a Batwoman before. And I believe there was a Batgirl before in the comics, but it was not Commissioner Gordon's daughter. This is a new thing just for the television show that they added in. And I, as far as other lasting influences that this show has had on creators and everything else, I would say this is by far the biggest influence it had on the comics and everything else going forward, because they introduced Batgirl, I believe, just before the show aired, where she was introduced. But it was created because because the TV show was going to be using the character.
Huh.
And I unabashedly love this character. It's one of my favorite things about the show. Yvonne Craig is fun and sprightly and stunning. And she is without a doubt, she is the good guy equivalent of seeing Julie Newmar as Catwoman.
Yeah.
And the thing about it that makes it so much fun is because she's a good guy, we get to see much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
But in the conversation with her father, Barbara Gordon makes it very clear that she is very interested in meeting millionaire Bruce Wayne. So Barbara's kind of a gold digger.
No, he's handsome, though.
Well, he's very handsome, but she doesn't say, I'm quite interested in meeting that handsome millionaire. He says, I'm quite interested in meeting millionaire Bruce Wayne.
Everybody calls him millionaire Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I don't know. But we do find out that Bruce has not seen Barbara since she went away to college 4 years ago. If we assume that Barbara went to college straight after high school,
mm-hmm.
that makes her 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce has at least 15 years on her.
Yeah.
That's a bit creepy.
Just a little bit.
And seeing as how Dick is both 16 and 30, I would be more comfortable with Dick Grayson being the love interest, which actually he was in the comic books.
Right.
This is where we get to the opening credits, and for once having a long pre-credit scene didn't feel long at all. I was down for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was actually good exposition.
It was. I didn't think it was a long one particularly at all.
Yeah, it was a little beefier, yeah. But it didn't feel long.
Oh, exactly.
And we forgot the most important part, which is as she is getting back home and riding up the elevator to her apartment, Penguin sneaks in the emergency exit at the top and kidnaps her.
Right.
That's important. Like knowing that the Marleys are dead at the beginning of Christmas Carol, nothing else will make sense if we do not remember this. So Barbara has been kidnapped.
The Marleys?
Because the only true version of Christmas Carol is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant there.
Yeah, I heard that all in Gonzo's voice. Anyway, shut up, Holly.
I didn't say a word.
You did. You interrupted me to make sure that everybody knew I was thinking about the Muppets, which, by the way, everybody, is usually the case.
It's a safe bet.
Ben,
what am I thinking about?
Muppets?
Nope.
Banana Rats?
Cookies.
Ah, I have a cookie for you.
I don't want it. I ate too many cookies.
Holly ate too many cookies, everybody.
That's your cookie.
And now we're playing Pass the Cookie on the left-hand
side.
Holly and I talk like we're doing Who's On First, except we don't have a set thing to go to. We just go to the same places.
Also, I feel like we both do the same part of Who's On First.
That's true. We're both kind of Lou Costello in most situations.
My note on the opening is so much bronzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Tan people.
There's a lot of bronzer happening.
Then we get the new animations in the theme, which are very simple, and most of them are just superimpositions over what was already there. But we get one extra scene of Batgirl punching, and then we get a really bad superimposition of the Batgirl cycle riding past the Batmobile at the end of the credits. But I will tell you, when I was a little kid and watching the reruns, I was always so excited when I saw that, because it meant we get to see Batgirl, and I loved Batgirl from moment one. We cut to Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara in their finest dress getting ready for the opera. They're walking up to Barbara's apartment, ringing the bell and knocking on the door and wondering why she's not answering. And when they start to get worried, Commissioner Gordon reveals that he and Barbara have a secret, which is that in her apartment building, in the public hallway, she leaves a key to her apartment behind one of the paintings at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
What are you talking about?
Because anybody walking down that hallway could use that key.
Right. Here's the thing. This is before serial killers.
No. But also, as a plot point, I would have accepted Commissioner Gordon saying, Barbara gave me a key for an emergency. I should check.
Not creepily, this is our little secret.
Right.
Because that didn't make me feel good.
So they walk in and they're checking Barbara's apartment, and the narrator, who is standing in Barbara's bedroom watching them in the living room,
100%,
shouts at us that little do they know, Barbara is in the next apartment, or is only 40 feet, 20 feet
25.
Away.
25. It was 25 like nothing.
Away. 25 feet away. And we cut to the next apartment over, which is built on a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
Because it is the Penguin's hideout, so it's at that great Dutch angle. And one of the henchmen is spying on Gordon and O'Hara and says, "Pengy, they've entered the apartment." It is still not okay when the female henchmen, henchpersons, call him Pengy as a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
When the dudes start doing it, it gets a little weird.
The whole thing is weird and uncomfortable.
But Penguin calls, and calls to give an ultimatum that he's got Barbara and she's going to do his bidding or bad things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
When he calls, he tells Commissioner Gordon to guess who this is. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And Commissioner
Here's
Gordon
a
goes,
hint. Waddle, waddle, waddle.
Commissioner Gordon goes, "It's Penguin. It's Penguin." I got that right, didn't I?
No, it was.
What'd I get? What'd I get?
It wasn't even, "I got that right." It's like, "It's Penguin. It's Penguin."
Yeah, it's like "Hey, guys! Man, we haven't heard from you in ages."
Yeah, exactly.
What up, dog? What up, bird?
Bird dog?
Bird dog. I like it. But D-A-W-G.
Duh.
I know how to spell dog, Ben. So he makes some, bad pun, veiled comment about checking the society pages. And Bruce and Dick, who have showed up by this point, grab the afternoon paper and look in the society pages. And there is a wedding announcement for the police commissioner's daughter and the Penguin. I have a question.
Yes, Ben?
If you were running a newspaper...
Yes.
...and a noted arch criminal...
Mm-hmm.
...called you and said, "I would like to announce a wedding."
Right.
"I am marrying the police commissioner's daughter."
Mm-hmm.
Would you run that without question? Or would you put in a quick call to police headquarters and say, "Hey, is your daughter marrying the Penguin?"
It depends.
Oh, if Penguin told him, "Shh, it's a secret."
Also that. Also, did he pay in cash?
Oh. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I suppose, but...
I still probably would have called now.
Yeah, just because...
But, you don't know how good of a secretary Bonnie is. Like, they could have probably called and asked.
That's true. Well, and you know what? Honestly, as we'll find out later, Bonnie may have never gotten the call. Because they've been having issues with crossed telephone wires.
See? That's what happened.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Look at us justifying things.
I rescind my complaint. So Penguin then... we cut to Penguin explaining to Barbara Gordon... No, I'm sorry. Bruce is explaining why Penguin would marry the police commissioner's daughter. And it is because as a member of the family, once they're married... he would then have immunity for all his crimes. That's not how any of that works. This is as good a plan as leaving a key behind a painting in a public area.
Ben, I also have another statement.
Yes.
When the commissioner's on the phone, he's like, "If you harm one hair on her head,
yeah." I'm not sure.
To which I noted, he's no Liam Neeson.
Oh my god, but I would watch Taken with Commissioner Gordon. Because it would be
Or I'd watch this Batman with Liam Neeson.
It would be, as Commissioner Gordon.
Duh.
Because Batman would just be sitting on the sidelines going, can I help? Do you need... No, I got this. We cut to Penguin explaining that Barbara will agree to marry him. And she says, "I never will." And he goes, "Well, if you don't, then plan B will happen." And he tells the henchman, "Show her plan B." First of all, they have a life-size cardboard cutout of Commissioner Gordon,
mm-hmm.
which is badass. And plan B is, with no preamble whatsoever, we cut to them just shooting holes into Commissioner Gordon. Like, plan B is just actual murder.
Yeah, like blatant murders. Like you could have just said, we're going to moita him.
But you know what? I will admit, this had more impact. This was more powerful.
I did react.
Yeah, Holly legitimately jumped.
I didn't jump as much as I was like,
yeah. But how dare you?
This is so violent.
Someone
put on Braveheart.
Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara say that they're going to need to call Batman, and they're not going to go to the opera. They tell Bruce and Dick to go ahead, but Bruce goes, we're really in no mood.
Yeah.
We should go home. Which, I will say, is not a conspicuous reaction at all. Like, I would totally understand it, even if they weren't Batman and Robin, them just going, you know what? I don't want to go to the opera while somebody's kidnapped.
No.
We cut to the bat phone ringing and Batman and Robin sliding down the bat poles and running in and picking it up. My note of which is, Batman and Gordon took way too long to call. Because it wasn't like the first words out of his mouth were, where are you? We've been calling for 40 minutes. Because we know for a fact that the Batcave is 14 miles from Gotham.
Right.
So even...
Well, and that's usually... Those signs are usually the center of town, which I'm going to... Or City Hall is. Something
yeah.
Like that. City Hall. Where City
but it's
Hall
pretty
is.
Clear that Barbara Gordon lives somewhere near the city center. It's not like... That's a metropolitan apartment building she's living in.
Yes.
And... So, Gordon...
Oh!
Yes.
He had to get back to...
City Hall?
City Hall.
Come on, they
no,
flipped,
it,
they
no,
flipped
the
lights.
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
I don't know.
It makes perfect sense.
We find out... Oh, Robin asks where Alfred is, and we find out that right now, Alfred is meeting with his minister because Alfred raises funds for children's charities.
Did not know this.
Yeah, that's
Alfred.
New information. Good information. And he's talking with the minister about how to raise money for the kids' summer camp for underprivileged children. Meanwhile, the henchmen have been sent to find a minister, any minister, to officiate the wedding. The henchmen run into the minister's office and ask, which one of you is the minister? And Alfred, they pretty much do. And Alfred asks, why do you ask? And when they explain, Alfred takes the minister's place. And in doing so, he triggers his... belt buckle tracker, which has a bat name, but I forget what it was. I didn't write it down. And
it's Alfred's utility belt. It's like Life Alert.
The Alf belt.
But it's like Life Alert. He's fallen and he can't get up.
Val made a Life Alert joke about... Oh. I sent Val a text that just says, falls over. And she wrote back, activate your Life Alert.
Nice.
Alfred's tracking device is going off, and they discover that Alfred is at B7642, to which I shouted out, you sunk my battleship!
Yes.
They find that Alfred is in one of the likely hideouts that Penguin had.
Ben, why did I write, oh no?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Was Yoko there?
I don't know.
And also, wait, sorry, I just realized something.
Yes, Ben.
The hideout that Alfred is in...
Uh-huh.
Which is one of the ones on the likely list,
mm-hmm.
is the apartment next door to Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just check that or call the... Okay, sorry. Even if I were Batman...
Which you aren't.
Which I'm not.
Okay, just to clarify.
If I discovered that the likely hideout of the bad guy who had kidnapped... somebody, but in this case particular, the police commissioner's daughter,
mm-hmm.
was very likely in the apartment next door to the home of the kidnapped victim, I would call the police and have them stake that location out right away, even while I was on my way there. Wouldn't that make more sense than not telling anybody and just having to drive back into town?
Probably not.
But presumably...
No, but probably not.
But
Ben?
I have issues.
Yeah, I know.
When they get Alfred to the apartment building, They throw him in the room with Barbara Gordon. And Alfred walks in and sees a clearly a dummy in a wedding dress stuck on a chair.
It reminded me of
The Others? Because that's what it reminded me of.
Similar but different. Psycho.
Oh, Mother.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that. And
you shouldn't buy it.
Why? I like the blood.
I don't think you should.
I actually may own a copy of Psycho already.
Which one?
Oh, not the masturbatory Vince Vaughn one. The real one.
Yeah. Shot for shot remake, except for we added masturbation. Which, that's not what he would be masturbating to.
Psycho, now with more squishy noises.
Like, here's the thing. If he was, he wouldn't get off by just watching. Sorry, I shouldn't talk about this.
Why? Because we've talked about worse.
It's true.
We talked about Gotham giving Bruce Wayne a boy.
That was early on. That was very early on. No.
Boy for sale.
No, because generally, well, yeah, generally that's part of the reason to murder is for the release.
Right.
That's the only way they can. Not to generalize and alienate murderers.
I really wish.
And serial killers.
I'm gonna have to. There's a friend of mine, who's a wonderful, wonderful woman, burlesque dancer and activist, but also a true crime podcast addict.
Who?
Her name's Bitsy. That's her. Say she goes by in performance. That's what she goes by on social media as well.
Why don't I know her?
Because I don't think you've ever gone with me to one of the burlesque shows she's performed at. Yeah. So you would love her because she's another true crime
podcaster. Yeah, no, she's probably a murderino.
She's also an awesome, awesome lady, but I'm going to have to tag her in this and let her know that we spent at least a few minutes discussing serial killer pathology.
Well, yeah, well, Psycho is actually based-ish on Ed Gein.
Yes. That I did know.
But there's no nipple belt in Psycho, so.
Ed Gein had a nipple belt?
Yeah.
I haven't spent enough time researching Ed Gein. I apologize. Bitsy, I apologize.
Ed Gein had a nipple belt. He had an ottoman made out of human flesh. They really only think he killed two people, though.
Why can't I get these things at IKEA?
And he just... Well, you can buy on Etsy a crocheted nipple belt.
Can I get an ottoman that just looks like the cover of the Necronomicon from Evil Dead?
I'm sure.
I need these. I need these things in my... Actually, what I want to do is... I want to get an ottoman, and I want to make custom fabric and line the ottoman in that.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be my own. But anyway, Ed Gein, Psycho...
Psycho, the...
Dummy in the wedding dress. There we are. And there were pandas. So there's a dummy in a wedding dress, and Barbara Gordon is in her street clothes again, which is a wonderful yellow rain jacket.
Orange.
Yellow? Orange. Orange rain jacket. Pardon the partly colorblind
guy.
It's
almost Paddington Bearish.
Yes, very much. But it's lovely, and it's very 60s and mod.
Oh,
and
I
very cool.
I love it. I love it. And her hair with it, it's great.
Yeah. Well, she was a stunningly gorgeous woman.
Did you ever meet Marilyn, my friend from San Francisco?
Maybe.
Older lady.
I don't think so.
I imagine.
Oh, she looked like that?
Yeah.
I gotcha. And she is climbing out the window, and she tells Alfred, don't reveal my secret. At this point, her secret very well may be to Alfred that she's about to kill herself.
Or that she's running away, or that I'm a coward, or...
Yeah.
I'm leaving you here to die.
She doesn't say, I'm Batgirl. Shh. She just says, don't reveal my secret, you're a man of the cloth. And she runs out.
I thought it was... She was talking about her secret being that she wasn't that dummy in the chair. That was my...
Oh, maybe.
First.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That's probably
what he kind of tries to protect.
That's probably it. So, Batman and Robin arrive. And... Oh, I don't remember where this came from. Oh! Penguin is gloating about marrying Commissioner Gordon, or should I say Daddy, and they run in, And Robin tells him...
I said, I don't know if I should call him Daddy or Commish.
That's right, Daddy or Commish.
Which made me laugh because I call him the Commish.
And Robin says, when we're done with you, you'll be hollering Uncle instead of Daddy. And there are issues with that statement.
I don't like it. We had literally just talked about this.
Yeah. And I heard that and I said, ugh. And I went to quote Holly and Holly went, what? So we went back so I could make sure that Holly was as traumatized by that line.
I not knowing.
They have their onomatopoeia fight, their first of, like, two?
There's two.
But they have their first onomatopoeia fight.
Zap, whack, whap, biff, boff, pow, zowie, splat.
And during this fight...
They're really fast, too. Like, yeah. If this is going to be a trend, we're going to need backup. There's no way I'm going to be able to get all these.
Well, we pretty much do. I mean, when I try to back you up, and then when we have a guest, the guest always helps, too.
Yeah, they try to write them down. I'm like, no, no. Do not steal my job.
But generally, we will shout them out if it seems like Holly has not yet looked back up. So we do our best to hold the team together.
I appreciate it.
And during the fight, Batgirl did something that I absolutely loved. You may have been writing at the time. There's a bunch of just random, like, packing boxes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She takes the butcher paper out of one of the packing boxes, wraps up Penguin's head, and then takes a random piece of wood and just starts hitting him on the head with it.
Brilliant. It was like a cartoon.
It was wonderful. I loved it.
I liked that she climbed up on a ladder and then just, like, did, like, one of those, like, fallback kick things. Yeah. I was like, wham! I was like, yeah, girl, get it.
She's badass. Yeah, she really is. Yeah, I liked her a lot. And, oh, they thank Batgirl and, like, who the hell are you? And she's talking to him about protecting her secret identity. They turn to pick the lock to free Alfred, and they think Barbara Gordon. And they go, get out your bat pick. They're going to bat pick the lock with the bat tools. And then Batman says, or we can just borrow a hairpin from Batgirl. And they turn around and she's gone. Poof. Like the
into
wind.
Into the night.
While they're trying to pick the lock, Penguin wakes up and gasses them with his umbrella. They tie them up in laundry sacks, it looks like.
Yeah, sure.
And
big purple bags.
Big purple bags. And then they throw them off the balcony into a truck. And then Penguin, to get into the truck, jumps off the railing and uses his umbrella as a parachute.
Yeah, like you do.
And I don't know if you noticed, but when he lands in the truck,
it's upside down.
It's inside out. That parachute, that umbrella was about to give out.
It already gave out.
Like it was like, it's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. They get gassed. They go to their secondary hideout. While they are packing...
Which I only assume is the apartment on the other side.
Yes, one floor down. while they are packing everybody up, they don't notice that Barbara Gordon in the wedding dress is not a real human being.
Who?
So the hench people aren't very smart.
No. They didn't even get real names, they just were henchmen.
We find out that Barbara Gordon not only has her secret wall panel with her costume, which someday I want to build into my house because it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
She also has a secret hatch with her Batgirl cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So she's jumping into that and taking the secret freight elevator. How did she build this into an apartment building?
Mm-hmm.
I know, the answer is shut up, Ben, just enjoy it, which I do, but still. And in their panel truck, Penguin is careening around the streets of Gotham, and he is singing, Here Comes the Bride, All Bound and Tied. I kind of loved it.
Of course you did.
But that's because I adore bad taste. We get to the secondary hideout, which has the Aunt Hilda's cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a comment about turning Batman and Robin into teabags.
Yeah.
This show doesn't need any teabag jokes.
Nope.
It just doesn't.
It does not.
It's okay. Batman and Robin are tied up. Batgirl shows up and starts fighting the henchmen. Penguin tries to run away, and Alfred beats the snot out of him.
Great.
And using Marcus of Queensbury rules, too, which I loved, because he does standard late 19th century
fisticuffs?
Fisticuffs boxing. Like the little puppets you could get, like the Punch and Judy puppets, where their arm would flex out. I loved it.
He did a good job. He got him right in the nose.
And
this is actually a pretty solid episode.
It was a really, really fun episode. They get to... Oh, Batman... all the people are beat up. Batgirl confronts Alfred because she heard Alfred tell Batman that he was Bruce Wayne's butler and not a minister. And she accuses him of tricking her into telling him secret.
Because women.
He walked in and she said, "You're a preacher, don't give away my secret." He said nothing. He did not trick her at all. But then she forgives him when he explains that he only took the minister's place to protect the minister from Penguin. And when she tells him that he's a very brave man, he gives her the, "Shut up, baby, I know it."
Look. I loved it.
And she also gives him a kiss on the cheek, which was sweet. She then explains that she has to go make a quick change. Batman and Robin get freed by Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Where's Barbara Gordon?" And he explains that he moved her. Oh, sorry. What'd I miss?
Kapow, zowie, crash, clunk, boff, wham.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, there's two in this episode. My bad.
Yeah.
And Alfred explains that he moved her behind the cauldron so she wouldn't get hurt. And so she's in the wedding dress again. She did a quick change. She's in the wedding dress again. And she apologizes for being so helpless.
Yes, I liked that. That made me laugh.
And she makes a comment about how terrible it would have been to marry Penguin. And he says it would have been, you can't imagine such bliss, is what he says. I gotta tell you, I kind of loved it.
I know you do.
It was a super strong ending for the episode. Sadly, that was not the end of the episode.
But I didn't think the end was bad.
No, the ending wasn't bad. Actually, the ending was amazing. We cut to the Gotham DMV. Dick has finally gotten his license at 25, and Bruce tells him that since it's his birthday, he wanted to give him something for getting his license, and he gives him a swank convertible.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking car.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, at Commissioner Gordon's office, Commissioner Gordon picks up the phone to talk to Bonnie, and it is not Bonnie. It's the Riddler.
Riddler.
And it is Frank Gorshin as the Riddler back again.
I was very excited about that.
And he asks, when is the jet stream like a dandelion? No idea. But we get an actual cliffhanger episode that's a new story cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Super exciting. And then Bruce and Dick get the call that the bat phone is ringing. So they take off and they have their little PSA moment where Dick says, "I know it's not the Batmobile. Highway safety is everyone's responsibility."
Yep. And he checks his blind spot.
Yep. And gently pulls into traffic. Like you do. And that is the end of the episode. Great episode. Honestly and truly great episode. And so excited because next week is a Riddler episode. Next week is episode 96, Ring Around the Riddler.
Woohoo!
And you can find us, Batmania, at Batmania66, at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at Batmania66mail@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to email Holly directly, you can email Bono, Julie Taymor, C-O, Bono, and the Edge, @gmail.com. And we're going to see you guys next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye!